High FM 101.9 megahertz of life.
Here in South Africa, what are we on? Rocky 77, where you've got these old guys in Zimmer frames trying to battle it out at the ANC, recalling the heady, wonderful days of the Freedom Charter when once they were heroes, yesterday's heroes. But as they get older and more decrepit, still they hold on to the position. In the UK, 45 days, boom, she's gone. There was a lettuce that lasted longer than her, apparently Liz Truss. But good or bad, I don't know. Either way, it is an interesting situation developing there, and we wanted to get a sense of what is likely to happen next. Professor John Stramlau is an honorary international relations professor at Wits University. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Well, I'm just fine, thanks. And when you called, or your producer called on Friday, I didn't think I could add very much this morning other than meditate on Britain and its uncertainties. But now you've got Boris Johnson, who's declared he's not a candidate. So it looks like Rishi Sunak is going to be the next Prime Minister of Britain.
What do we know about him?
Well, we know quite a bit, but it's an interesting story. It's a personal story of great interest in that he comes from Africa. His parents migrated to Britain from East Africa, from Kenya, in the 1960s. He was born in Southampton, and he was very, very well educated at Oxford and then got an MBA at Stanford University, and he's very, very wealthy. I think he's the 222nd wealthiest Briton right now, and he has been very conservative, and yet he's going to get a mandate from a few hundred parliamentarians. This is not democracy, and at the moment the Labour Party is in the ascendancy, and everyone's calling for a general election, but the Tories probably, who are in power until 2025 January, We'll stick it out and hope that they can get some reversals under Sunak.
But what would have changed? He lost the battle against Liz Truss not very long ago, and now he seems to be being ushered in almost without contest.
Well, when economics goes badly, how do politics react is the key question. And the economics were horrendous. I mean, she came in, and she did in an inflationary period. She proposed a huge tax cut with no way to pay for it, and it spooked the markets. And the Conservative Party leaders looked around and said, "Oh my God!" And then they looked at the polling data of last week, and 70% of the British voters had an unfavorable view of Ms. Truss. So she was out, and quickly so. And rightly so, but the fractionation of the Conservative Party, which has been developing for years and is now at a full tilt, rivals in some senses the Republican Party in the United States. Although we're still keeping our fingers crossed that there's no return of Donald Trump, but it also reflects the divisions within the ANC here, which is much more important politically for the country than the divisions between the parties, because the ANC has been so predominant, as you alluded to in your opening.
If we look at that, in fact, I was looking at an article earlier where Nancy Pelosi is threatening Donald Trump and saying he doesn't have the guts to come before the January 6th committee. And again, you just look at between those two and then Biden, and you look at them and you think back to the ANC, surely we need younger, more energetic people with newer ideas. And obviously I'm not being ageist in that I think there's a tremendous amount of wisdom, experience and guidance that older politicians could perhaps provide. But surely we've got to start all around the world looking at younger people to be in these positions.
Yeah. Of course. But as you point out, don't be an ageist in the sense that Rishi Sunak, who I have very profound disagreements with in his policies, is nevertheless 43 years of age. Mm. And so he's born in 1980. And so he is a young man and a very dynamic man and a very smart man. But on policy issues, we'd have real disagreements. But all things considered, I feel this way very strongly as an ANC member, that right. You need the wisdom of the older folks,
of course,
who have gone through the struggle, but then you need new implementation. Now, you know, you've had the spokesman, Lamola, from the Minister of Justice, who's a young fellow, but he's also being very, very careful not to ruffle the feathers of Ramaphosa and the senior cadres right now. And we'll have to see how this plays out, but it is ultimately for the voters to decide. And what really concerns me in South Africa is that voter turnout is falling precipitously, and this electoral reform bill is problematic in terms of its representativity of the average voter, because one person ought to have one vote, and that's what the Constitution prescribes, unlike the American Constitution, which is very archaic and very undemocratic or democratically deficient. And the British system is also democratically deficient, because how do you have a democracy that is the privilege of a handful of conservative, elderly white male rich parliamentarians right now? But, you know, democracy is correctable. Authoritarianism is not. Xi Jinping being a president for life is a bad example, frankly.
Yeah, and it is interesting, because we do have the sense here in South Africa as well that we are powerless as we watch this internal ANC battle. And if there's very, very little that we can do to influence this until the election comes around. But in the meantime, we could be saddled here with a president who is corrupt, as we have been in the past, and we will have no say around that.
Well, now, wait a minute. You know, so long as the system is open, and so long as you have a microphone, what you're talking about right now is contributing to the public debate,
I hope.
I mean, after all,
so
that's
too.
Why you do it.
Absolutely.
And the civil society in this country is very vibrant and still will challenge, for example, this Electoral Reform Act that was just passed by Parliament. It's gearing up to get a constitutional court challenge on it, and whether it's successful or not, I don't know. It's early innings, but so long as there is an openness and a willingness to debate within boundaries and not revert to violence,
of course,
democracy has a chance. But there's no place on earth that is more problematic in the sense of being unequal and unemployment so high and poverty so widespread, and yet it's attempting a very liberal democratic constitution, as South Africa is. And so I'm hoping that the diversity of views and identities will persist here. And I'm always concerned about identities that are genetic rather than identities that are political.
Absolutely right. I do hear that. Professor John Stramler, Honorary International Relations Professor at Wits University.